Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Get a few fans here, a few folks who watched the game last night, the Rockets game, and then watched the post game weighing in. I had not seen this. Steve Kerr, someone said, crying like a little bee about the loose ball foul. We'll have that audio for you a little later this hour. I just watched it during the break. It is very fun to watch Steve Kerr be so distraught over this billion-dollar industry that's being ruined by these referees.
We are the Warriors. Yeah. Well, that's what the heck? You're supposed to ignore moving screens and everything else, and it's just going, eh.
Yeah, not going to lie. It's very enjoyable to watch Steve Kerr complain about anything. So we'll have that for you a little later on this hour. As we welcome you back in, 7 o'clock hour. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you, 713-572-4610. The other big headline today, we'll touch on, we hit it pretty hard in the 6 o'clock hour. If you missed it, Bill Belichick reached a 5-year deal. It's official now to coach the North Carolina Tar Heels. So we'll talk about that later in the show as well. We mentioned the Astros in headlines, winter meetings ongoing up in Dallas, and the Astros have sort of taken the title from all the experts that I've seen, Seth, out there talking about the winter meetings on MLB TV and so forth. The Astros have taken a title that the reasons why they are getting this title, I don't know that I like, but they have taken on the mantle of the most intriguing team at the winter meetings right now, because Bregman has worked his way to at or near the top of the available free agents, with Juan Soto gone and Max Fried gone, the Yankees still having a ton of money to spend, other teams that are very needy of an Alex Bregman. Bregman is a big story, and Kyle Tucker has turned into maybe the biggest story at the winter meetings. The availability of Kyle Tucker, the rumored pursuit by the Cubs and the Yankees of Kyle Tucker. Here was Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros beat for MLB.com. Tags does a great job. He was on MLB TV yesterday, and he, yet another Astros insider, weighing in on the likelihood of the Astros moving on and trading Kyle Tucker.
I think there's a very real chance he would not be back after next year, and we've seen the Astros lose free agent after free agent, Correa, Springer, Garrett Cole, and they continue to win, but at some point there's a gap now. They don't have the prospects like they used to, so now they have to make a trade and fill some of these holes. But yes, it certainly seems like there's momentum towards a Tucker trade. There's, you know, the Yankees make a lot of sense in a lot of ways. That would be a consolation prize maybe for Juan Soto, but do the Yankees want to go down that road again of a guy that they don't have under contract for next year and then try to resign him for big money? So, but the Astros could get a couple of impact players, maybe a prospect or two, save a lot of money, and Astros fans would probably scream, but this makes a lot of sense to trade Kyle Tucker at this point.
Yeah, I'm starting to really come onto that side of the camp. Like, I'm on the side now, Seth, of like what breaking news tweet is going to excite me, you know, I'm anxious for a Kyle Tucker trade, because I do think it's the best thing for the Astros right now.
I do think this is what I sense. Just in the way I could see it going is that we're hearing more and more from Astros fans about, hey, yeah, let's remember Kyle Tucker hasn't done much in the playoffs.
They do bring that up.
Couple of years. Yeah. Like it's coming up more and more, and I think that the transition into, you know, in our minds, if Kyle Tucker goes within 2 months, it'll be that he was the worst player ever in the playoffs, and it's good riddance to bad rubbish, as Grandma Ev might say. The fact the Cubs, there was a lot of chatter about the Cubs yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because Seth Payne was the first one to bring it up here locally. I saw your face when I brought up the Cubs yesterday morning. You thought I was saying the wrong team name, but I had read the beat reporters up in Chicago from the day before, who were kind of talking about either the speculation or maybe some of it's based on what they're hearing, but that it could make sense, and that it could be more player for player than prospects for players, and that's more appealing to me. I can stomach that better because that feels more like a way to prop the window open a little bit, or at least make the rebuild a little less painful than the first time around.
Yeah, it would be a deal where you feel like, okay, we can still win this division at least. You know, they are similar to the Texans. The Astros' chances of just getting into the dance are buoyed by the fact that they play in a ratchet division right now. You know, it's not a good, they won it by winning 88 games last year, you know, so it's not a good division. Chandler Rome and Ken Rosenthal, both of the Athletic, had some specificity about this, and the trade they're talking about with the Cubs for Kyle Tucker is sort of a combo platter of what you're talking about, Seth. It's a combination of major league players that would become immediate contributors to the Astros. Now, would they be contributors on the level of Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman? Probably not. But would they be contributors that would keep you competitive, plus you get the bonus of a couple prospects? Yes. This is what they're reporting, that Seiya Suzuki, outfielder, and Cubs corner infielder Isak Paredes, who was a Tampa Bay Ray last year, and the Astros tried to get him at the trade deadline, so they like this player, are two players the Astros are targeting in a possible trade for Kyle Tucker with the Cubs. Talks are fluid, and the teams have exchanged a variety of names. Any Cubs package for Tucker likely would include prospects as well. Third baseman Cam Smith, who's the Cubs' first-round pick in the most recent draft, is another player in whom the Astros are interested. So this gives you a couple guys that would be part of your everyday lineup. You know, Paredes can play third or first base, so this sort of allows you to play the middle while you're waiting for Alex Bregman to make a decision here. He'll be in the lineup one way or the other. Bregman leaves, he's probably your third baseman, and you go after a first baseman. If Bregman stays, he's your everyday first baseman. So the flexibility of that trade, Paredes' bat is, you know, all the analytics you saw about it, there's a reason they wanted him so badly, because the way he hits, the side of the plate he hits from, he's tailor-made. They feel like he's tailor-made for Daikin Park. The Cam Smith thing is interesting because now you start to get into, okay, this is the Dana Brown scouting eye that we've heard so much about. Like, who are the prospects that come back, and what was Dana Brown, who will remind people, Dana Brown, a huge reason why the Braves have had such a good young nucleus for their team that won a world championship a few years ago.
The Cubs people I read had basically said that Cam Smith might be, they're very hesitant to let go of Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe he's untouchable, but hey, Kyle Tucker was untouchable.
Yeah,
and now he's not. All right. Four or five years ago, we were saying, like, can't move Kyle Tucker. Right. And we're like, oh, whatever. All right. And now he's tradable. He's touchable.
Yeah. Yep. He is. Now, I'm interested too. Well, here's one more from Brian McTaggart, kind of alludes to how Astros fans are going to feel if there's no Tucker, and he brings up Bregman's name as well.
Does it make sense to trade Kyle Tucker and then bring back Alex Bregman? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think Bregman will be back either, and that's going to be tough for Astros fans to digest if they lose both of those players, cornerstone players, but they're just at the point to where they already have a very high payroll. They have so many needs now. They have corner infield needs, starting pitching, relief pitching. They can get a lot of things that address a lot of their needs. Are they going to take a big step back? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they can build around their pitching staff and still be really competitive.
If Alex Bregman leaves, does Jose Altuve unfollow the Astros on his social media accounts?
Does he go from Jose Altuve, Astros second baseman, to Jose Altuve, human being? Yeah,
with just an egg profile and everything else. He just distances himself from the franchise.
I'll tell you what, of all the unfollowings of teams, not just in Houston, but around sports, that one would be near the top of the holy bleep factor right there.
I would say it would be an uncomfortable conversation, or an interesting conversation. I don't know if it would be uncomfortable or not, but basically Jim Crane has to explain to Altuve, listen, Jose, we had room for one sentimental value contract, and you've got it.
Yes.
You know, like, it's, yes, hey, we've got you signed through the age of 37, 36, or, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Like no, he's 34 right now. He's going to 39, man. Yeah,
and it's team friendly. You know, it's front loaded, but you are our sentimental contract
that's
right
exactly
now.
Right, Seth.
We only have room for so much sentimentality. I'm in the logistics biz. You see,
yeah.
We got to get the package there on time at some point.
Yes, yeah. Everybody's assuming Bregman's gone. We've not heard anything from Bregman, and really not heard a whole lot from Boris. As well, Scott Boris, Bregman's agent.
Are people assuming he's gone?
Well, Brian McTaggart, you know, kind of in that cut right there, just said a lot of people, yeah. You know, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think if we were to poll Astro fans, are you guys assuming, do you think Bregman's staying? I think 80 to 90% would say, I think he's leaving right now. Yeah, I think it's weighted pretty heavily towards him leaving, especially
I would put it at 70% chance of him leaving, but 30% is still a pretty healthy chunk of hope in my mind.
Because I don't know, man. When money's involved and the Yankees are involved and teams like that, I feel like they've got a lot of control over that percentage right now. The Astros are dug in. This is where they're stopped at 6 years, 156.
I feel like the Yankees too, in like a desperate lunging for some kind of acceptance or at least excitement from the fan base, they might do it just knowing that their fans will think they just pulled off the biggest coup of the century, and they're really sticking it to the Astros now.
Dude, what if they wound up? Okay, let's. Okay, I'm gonna back up. I'm gonna pose this rhetorical question. Well, that's not rhetorical. I want to ask you this, but I want to play this cut first. Because we've been talking about Tucker to the Cubs. Joel Sherman covers the Yankees for the New York Post, and he talked about the Yankees' pursuit of Kyle Tucker.
Look, I think there's a little fallout from the Soto situation in a few different ways. One of them is once he gets 765, I think the Astros kind of knew they couldn't sign Tucker anyway. You know, Jim Crane has really held the line at about six-year contracts and not going to the very top of the market. And I think it's pretty clear now Kyle Tucker is going to get probably no less than $300 million as a free agent next year. No one would be surprised if it starts with a four, and you know what happens with the frenzy once teams start negotiating. So I think they know they're not going to have him beyond this season. And by the way, they got a three-month look last year when he had a shin injury of what it looked like without him. By the way, they had the best record in the American League during those 3 months. So they know there's another way to go. They're trying to maximize this. They're thinking first base, third base, and pitching. The feeling you get when you talk to folks is that Tucker is very likely to move when we don't know. The Cubs are a very dynamic player here. They might be the leader, but the Yankees are certainly interested.
Okay, the whole Tucker, you know, they caught fire with Tucker out. They were the best team in the American League. That's all well. That was also when Alex Bregman was on the team and catching fire. Bregman had started to get out of his annual slump at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you could parlay your way into thinking like, hey, they were fine for these. Look at this sample size of when they didn't have Yordan or Tucker or Bregman, and they were fine.
Yeah. No, dude,
the outfield
was Dubon, Chaz, and whatever they were running out at right field at the time. They were signing guys off the street to play right field in August. That's not a desirable thing. This is what I was going to ask you, and that's why I wanted to play the audio of Tucker being in the mix for the Yankees. That's a thing.
Yeah.
How is it going to feel? I hate doing this at 7:15 in the morning. There's people in their cars. How is it going to feel if, and this could happen, if Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker both wind up on the Yankees?
I think that's where sentiment would change a lot compared to when various other free agents have left. There's very little ill will towards Carlos Correa, other than like the whole thing was longer and more dramatic than it probably needed to be. But, George Springer, even Gerrit Cole, who went to the Yankees, I mean, that was more based on the way he left after the final game of the World Series,
yes,
more so than anything else.
There's explanations for all of those. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think people really, we like to make fun of Gerrit Cole's, you know, Kermit voice and everything.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's largely defended the Astros when it comes to the being better than everybody else scandal.
Yep.
I think both of those guys, both Bregman and Tucker, going to the Yankees, and I know it would be a trade for Tucker, but still, I think people would then feel like, oh, USOBs. Okay, this is how it's going to be, huh?
I hope so.
All right.
I hope so.
All right, here we go.
I'm here for that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's and that's where you just wish, like, it was the version. Like, okay, so now you got to go fight the fight at some point against these guys on the field, and that's where I'm like, I just wish they were leaving the 2019 version of the Astros, not this version of the Astros.
The whole thing about Tucker is he's not going to get a Juan Soto-like deal, but, I mean, I don't think the Yankees make another trade like that for a guy on an expiring contract without committing in their minds to, hey, whatever it takes, we're retaining him next year.
Yeah, dude, I'm amazed how many people that cover baseball nationally that are bringing up the Soto trade and how the Yankees got jilted and they thought they had him for more than a year and he goes to the Mets and that they'd be real scared to make a Tucker trade. Like, very few, if any of them, are bringing up the possibility of the Yankees and Kyle Tucker, or whoever Kyle Tucker gets traded to, but in this case, the Yankees signing him to an extension, like negotiating an extension with him. Like, no, that's they can do that. That's a possibility. And I almost feel like for the Astros, if they're trading Tucker, they're going to be looking for a return on that trade that is at a level where Tucker is almost going to have to be committed beyond this season to whoever they're trading him to. You know? Because he's devalued by only being on a 1 year deal, albeit a cheap 1 year deal. I mean, it'd only be $15-20 million, but he's devalued because of the lack of a long term commitment right now.
Then the other dynamic in all of this, which is just interesting, is the Astros were the third highest payroll in baseball last year. Mm-hmm. It's not like Jim Crane is afraid to spend money. There's just limits when you start getting up beyond the CBT, where it's they're different universes. There's just he can't spend that kind of money that the Yankees and the Mets can get away with.
The Yankees, Mets, and Dodgers are operating in a different universe than everybody right now. Well, and this is the first time, Seth, that he's had a lot of bad money on the books. You're right.
That's why it didn't feel like the third highest payroll, because so much of that payroll was dead money. Guys on the injured list.
Injured. I mean, I was thinking more about Abreu and Montero, who weren't even on the team by September. But you're right. Like, they're paying a lot of guys to rehab Tommy John surgeries, you know?
I'm looking at the 2030 salary, the payrolls in 2030. The Mets are the second highest payroll.
What is it?
In 2030 at $105 million. They're spending what the Astros were spending on their team in 2013. That's how much they've got allocated for 2030.
Right.
The Padres are the highest right now.
Yeah, they've got some long-term deals on that.
They've got some long, big money deals.
Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis. You know, they've got some guys that are signed to 13-year deals.
Guess what? Do some quick math in your head and guess what the Astros payroll is in 2030.
Zero.
Yes. Yep. They are tied at 23rd for the lowest pass. There's eight teams with $0 committed to 2030.
Who are the other seven? There's some context here. Like, long term, who are the Astros operating like?
The Marlins.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Reds.
Yep. Small market.
The Orioles, the notorious spendthrift.
Whose GM is Mike Elias, who is a Jeff Luno guy. You know, like he was in the building here. So keep going.
The A's, the White Sox.
Okay.
The Cardinals. Yep. And
Cardinals,
the
okay.
Cubs.
Okay. Yeah. And the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's the Cubs, mildly surprising, just because that is a team. That is the haves and the have-nots, that is a have. The Cubs, they've got a good TV deal and they've got a ballpark that sells out, even if the team sucks.
But you look at the teams that have a lot committed to 2030, like teams that have like a lot of either big money contracts.
Who are the top five?
The Padres, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Red Sox.
There you go. And that, you know, it's funny you bring up the Red Sox, and we're going to shift over to football here in just a second, but you bring up the Red Sox. Red Sox traded for Garrett Crochet yesterday. So this Garrett Crochet deal finally came through. The deal that we'd all been waiting for at the trade deadline for somebody, the White Sox finally traded Garrett Crochet, really good starting pitcher, to the Red Sox. We're starting to get into, for me, Seth, at least, and I'm curious if you feel the same way, we're starting to get into a world where I see the Yankees signing Max Fried, the Red Sox making trades for Garrett Crochet. And these are not new moves, like stylistically not new. It's not new for the Yankees to splurge on a pitcher. You know, Garrett Cole, splurge on a pitcher. It's not new for the Red Sox to trade a bunch of prospects for a guy who they're probably going to have to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars to. For the last 5 or 6 years, really before this offseason, maybe into last season, I never really paid much attention to it because the Astros were operating above the fray. I'm like, all right, do what you want to, Yankees. Do what you want to, Red Sox. It ain't working. We're beating you in the postseason every year. You can put us in ink for the ALCS. This is the first offseason where I've started to feel not like a have not, but because to your point, Jim Crane still spends money. Not as much as those teams, but he still spends money. The Astros will never be the Marlins. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they'll never be the Marlins. Unless they do a total teardown again, and then they'll become the Astros again. But this is the first offseason where teams like the Red Sox and Yankees and other teams around the American League, around baseball, are making moves. And I'm like, oh, we're behind these guys right now. Or we're kind of in that, in the case of the Red Sox, we're in that same swamp with them right now. We're not above the fray anymore, where their moves don't really matter to me, you know?
And I think, you know, if Luno were still the GM, like, let's say hypothetically Luno was the GM, right, this whole way through. They had the same level of success, all the ALCS appearances, all of that.
Yep.
I think it would be easier to feel like, okay, well, the Astros have proven that they can compete through things other than just money-whipping people, and that building a pipeline, if that's what they choose to do, then they're capable of doing it.
Yeah.
With Dana Brown, I think it's more of a leap of faith.
Yes.
And we've seen some of his thoughts and decisions about younger players have totally worked out, but it's still a leap of faith, and that's where it gets... But I think that his track record as a personnel evaluator is very, very solid. When it comes to building a pipeline, I trust that they're going to be good in that regard. And then the other part is that the pitching car wash, their ability to bring up young pitchers or to bring in veterans like Kikuchi, it's still there.
Yeah.
Like, so they still have an edge there.
Yep.
The league has caught up to a lot of the edges and advantages that the Astros initially had, but they are still edges in a lot of regards.
Yep.
It might not be as vast a difference, but it's still there.
Y'all take it easy. This is a text message. You need to take it easy on Tucker. He did catch the last out to win the World Series. Okay, if Tucker leaves...
What was I bashing him?
No. Y'all need... I think it's a sarcastic text, but I have an actual fan emotion angle off of that text. If he goes to the Yankees, Kyle Tucker, does it sully the highlight of him catching the final out of the World Series in 2022? Like, does it, it's like, I miss Kyle.
No,
Tucker. Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And he's had big moments. The whole thing about Tucker in the playoffs, or anybody, I say this about Tucker and Framber, they still, whether they're slumping or not, they inject stress into the opposing team.
Yeah.
It's not like when Framber is on one of his rare slumps that all of a sudden everybody starts playing up in the infield or something. Like, right. They put stress on the pitcher. The pitchers aren't going to change their strategies just because, oh, Kyle Tucker's been 0 for his last 11 or something.
Yep.
So there is that presence at the plate that still has an effect on your lineup. But I'm saying... When I wasn't even bashing Tucker, I was saying the way that people are going to start to frame this if Tucker leaves is like, he was garbage in the playoffs anyway. Yeah. Screw him.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what fans do. And I'm a fan.
And myself. Yeah, yeah. No, I'll totally do it.
Yeah.
I'll have Sean, I'll have cherry-picked so many stats about why it's no big deal to lose Kyle Tucker.
For sure.
I know me.
Yep.
I know my weakness.
Yes.
Frail.
Yep.